from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. State Senate leaders are giving Ron Calderon of Montebello 1 week until March 3rd to either resign or take a leave of absence. After that, Calderon's colleagues are fixing to vote to suspend him from office. Calderon pleaded not guilty to a couple dozen political corruption charges in Los Angeles yesterday. KPCC's Frank Stoltz has more.
The 56-year-old state senator stood in shackles, just like every other defendant in a downtown federal courtroom yesterday. Outside, his celebrity attorney, Mark Garagos, chided news reporters.
I would caution everybody that there still is a presumption of innocence in this country, that before everybody jumps on the bandwagon of pillorying him, that they just hold off and take a deep breath.
A federal grand jury accuses Calderon of accepting $100,000 in bribes. The leader of the state Senate, President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg, has called on him to resign. Garagos said Calderon, who represents Southeast L.A. County, wants to stay in office.
All things being equal, yes, that's what he loves to do. But all things are not equal.
He said Calderon will decide what to do after they figure out how much time the case will take, leaving open the possibility he will step down. The trial was set for April 22nd. For the California Report, I'm Frank Stoltz in Los Angeles.
A number of people are asking why Senator Calderon is being shown the door while Senator Roderick Wright is not, even though he was convicted last month of 8 felonies, including perjury and voter fraud, for claiming to live in Inglewood, his district, while really living elsewhere. Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg says he wants to wait for a trial judge to validate Wright's conviction and sentence him first. Speaking to a press gaggle in Sacramento, Steinberg defended the difference in his responses.
They are different situations, and the recommendations that I am making are based upon the unique circumstances of each of those situations.
Steinberg also notes Calderon's charges are more serious, quote, the most serious violations of law and our ethics. The slaughterhouse at the center of a massive beef recall is now the subject of 3 federal investigations. On top of the 2 the USDA is conducting, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Northern California has launched a criminal probe into Rancho Feeding Corporation of Petaluma. At least, so says Congressman Jared Huffman, who represents the area. The USDA has not gone into detail about its concerns, other than to say meat was processed without the requisite oversight from inspectors. Huffman says he managed to get some more information from the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture.
He was emphatic that this was a situation involving repeated acts of deception by the owner of Rancho and not a breakdown in the inspection process.
The recall includes an entire year's worth of meat processed at Rancho, involving at least 29 states and 5 Canadian provinces. So far, there are no reports anyone got sick from eating the meat, and a local company has offered to buy the facility and take it over. This Thursday, Yosemite National Park kicks off its first ever film festival to mark the 150th anniversary of the signing of the Yosemite Grant, the document that set aside Yosemite Valley. Festival director Stephen Bumgardner, who joins us from Yosemite, says there are more than enough films about the park to fill a 5-day marathon that runs through the weekend.
Long film history here in Yosemite, and this is definitely a retrospective film festival. We're looking at the history of Yosemite through film, but we're also going to be having some premieres of films making their debut right here in the valley.
I understand one of those new films is Ken Burns' latest documentary, Yosemite, A Gathering of Spirit.
Definitely a big fan of Yosemite, and he focused a lot on that in his America's Best Idea film. And basically, they sort of repackaged that into a little 25-minute piece that is a very definitive history of this creation of Yosemite, from the 1864 grant to telling stories of people like Galen Clark, John Muir, and some of the folks who were very instrumental in helping create, ultimately, Yosemite National Park.
So I'm told from numerous people there's one particular documentary from 1989 that is a favorite. It's called Yosemite Fate of Heaven. What's so special about this film?
Yosemite Fate of Heaven is a really interesting story of sort of the juxtaposition between nature and people visiting the park. And it's kind of a behind-the-scenes tour of Yosemite in many ways. They shadow park rangers and folks who drive the trash trucks, but they also interview visitors in the campgrounds and things like that. So it's a neat story of how Yosemite inspires people, but also that human and natural relationship and sort of the conflicts that result.
Shall we play a clip from the film?
So we're going to hear in this clip the voice of Carl Scharsmith, and he was a legendary park ranger here in Yosemite from 1931 until 1993. And we're going to hear him talking a little bit about that interaction between people and nature.
We're part of it all. We have rhythms which correspond to those in nature. They govern our whole lives. And so we should feel grateful that we're a part of the picture.
Yosemite is also a park that inspires athletic hotshots to push themselves, to set records. I'm wondering if you can tell me about a film in the festival that talks about that aspect of the park.
Yeah, we are really focused on telling a lot of the history of Yosemite, but we also want to show a lot of the things people come here to do, things like rock climbing and hiking and exploring. So we have a lot of films that focus on that. One in particular is called Honnold 3.0, and it's about a man named Alex Honnold, a young man who's become kind of famous because he basically rock climbs things like El Capitan and Half Dome without using a rope. He's done some pretty amazing things here in Yosemite.
I'm sure if I fell, there'd be all kinds of different, you know, some people would be like, oh, he died doing what he loved. And some people would be like, what a douchebag. Like, he got what was coming.
He really seems to anticipate what critics might think. But at the same time, there seems to be something about Yosemite that just draws daredevils to test themselves.
You know, the vast majority of those climbers, again, they're securely anchored with ropes. There's still some hazards associated with that. But the idea of climbing that without a rope, the idea that if one slip, you're dead. There's only a handful, literally, a few people in the world that can do what Alex Honnold does. And this film's a great portrait of him. And I think people who think he might be crazy, when you watch it, you realize that he's just really good.
Well, thank you again for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Stephen Bumgardner is the director of the Range of Light Film Festival at Yosemite National Park, running February 27th through March 3rd. We've got a link to the festival at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Tuesday, February 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro.
On the bridge by Yosemite Falls, as I wait for the girl I adore.
This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org.